Good evening, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm your host for another edition of the Creative Learning Concepts radio show, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC. Creative Learning Concepts serves as a complement to the school systems, offering resources and assistance to students who, for whatever reason, may fall behind academically, socially, or behaviorally. Each show, we discuss how we can help young people achieve their full potential by providing assistance in testing, tutoring, counseling, behavior analysis and modification, and special needs assistance. Creative Learning Concepts works in a one-on-one, highly customized environment, which builds confidence and self-esteem. Their goal is to keep children engaged in wanting to come to school and actually enjoying the process of learning. We're here talking to Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We'll be right back on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, and I'm here tonight with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, let's recap for our new and regular listeners what it is you do here at the Popper Institute and at Creative Learning Concepts. You're here in Bloomfield Hills serving students and parents, as well as being an adjunct to the school systems in testing, counseling, psychological and behavior therapy. So let's start by explaining how Creative Learning Concepts first got started and what your objectives were. I know you moved here from California and you worked for various organizations. What did you see that was lacking? And where did you see a gap in services that you could fill in offering services to students?
Anne-Marie, I think about this all the time because I always like to remind people about the uniqueness of Creative Learning Concepts. And when I first started back in Detroit, I noticed that there was this enormous cookie cutter mentality in the clinics I worked for. And the people who were trained at these clinics had the basics down, but they didn't know how to think outside the box. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we pride ourselves on thinking outside the box. And because each student is different and unique and has their own learning style. And if you don't think outside the box, you're really not reaching and teaching them in the manner that they need to be taught. So the cookie cutter mentality was one thing. Not being able to think outside the box was another, and teaching children from the inside out is so essential. Not only do they have to have cognitive intelligence, but they have to have emotional intelligence, and that comes from the inside. And it's not anything newfangled. It's just part of the whole picture, the gestalt, if you will. And I didn't see that anywhere. And they don't teach you that in grad school or undergrad. You have to do your own research. You have to think about what it takes to be an effective teacher or an effective speech pathologist or whatever type of clinic you're working at. And you got to do outside research that you don't see in graduate school. And that's exactly what I did. And that's exactly what I teach the therapists who work at Creative Learning Concepts. You have to really have a self-awareness of how to be an effective teacher.
Now, when you talk about learning helping children from the inside, and now you're talking about this is all through observation, and you're encouraging your clients and your students cognitively, first of all, and then what's the difference between inside out? Explain that to our listeners.
Inside, I'll start with inside. Inside is, your emotions, your fight or flight when you're panic stricken about something. A lot of kids who are primarily intelligent, highly intelligent kids, panic when they think they're going to get something wrong because they have such high expectations of their performance. They have this fight or flight that makes them freeze. It makes them cry. It makes them not be able to respond to a question. That's all your insight, your self-awareness, metacognitive skills, which are the way you feel about the way you learn. And, you know, cognitive skills come from your brain, of course. That's inside, but you see it externally as well.
Well, one of the other things that you are that you do in your clinic is that you treat people one-on-one individually. And I know that you've brought this up in past shows. Why is it so important to do one-on-one therapy or one-on-one tutoring?
Kids are used to being in school with peers, let's say 20 to 30 kids in class, and they're inherently competitive. And sometimes the competitive nature of their peers is really, it becomes dumbfounding, and it eats at your emotions and your self-esteem. And I've found that no matter what level the learning difference is, when you work one-on-one versus in a whole classroom, you get that attention. You get constant feedback because you're only with one person, and that's the teacher.
Well, also, it's a highly customized procedure that you're delivering. So each person is, it's almost like the Montessori method. Each person is being treated and handled at their own pace and at their own level on a customized way of handling this.
Right. Not only is it custom, but You get that feedback. You know, you get a systematic feedback where you can go to the next level of difficulty because your teacher is ready for it. You feel ready for it, and you don't have to compete with anybody else.
So that's true, and there really aren't any other centers around, to my knowledge, that do this type of work on an individual one-on-one basis. So it's more kind of like private counseling and private, you know, one-on-one sessions.
What I want, almost forgot to say too, is if when I have an initial consultation with a parent, if they have the opportunity to get one-on-one versus a small group situation, 10 times out of 10, they will choose one-on-one.
Yes, absolutely. Well, we're going to go to a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin, here tonight with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Now, Lisa, in the last segment, we talked about why a one-on-one approach was so important and creating a customized program for all of your students that are coming to see you. And one of the things I want to discuss with you also is your process of examining the whole child, which you've talked about at length in prior shows. A very important thing you brought up is not overlooking symptoms. Now, I know your brother's a medical doctor with a superb practice in Los Angeles, and I also know you're calling on him as well as medical experts here for their input and up-to-date research. We probably won't go into details about the rare neurological cases you've worked on in California, but we want to mention that you've been extremely cautious in your intake so as not to miss anything that may have been overlooked in your assessment of students that are coming to you. Can you give us an example of how this works? You sometimes encounter a student who presents with one constellation of symptoms or challenges, and maybe there's more to the story. There's maybe more things that haven't been discovered that are actually affecting the student not achieving what he hopes to achieve, and you're in the process of uncovering what's going on.
Yes, Anne-Marie. I was thinking of one thing that is very common to overlook. You might think that your student's been properly diagnosed with ADHD or one of the subtypes of ADHD, it could be something on the autism spectrum because a lot of the symptoms are, they overlap. They're so similar. You could say, well, he's got A, B, and C, but it could be D, E, and F. So, and sleep issues can be overlooked and misdiagnosed as ADHD. Here's an example. Let's say your child is having great difficulty getting a sound night's sleep, or he's sleeping, but he's not getting REM sleep. He wakes up the next morning and the teacher calls you and says your son's bouncing off the wall. It's because he hasn't slept. He hasn't had proper amount of sleep. So that can be misdiagnosed. And they oftentimes will try to diagnose your child with before you seek a doctor's opinion and say, oh, do you think your child has ADHD? He's bouncing off the wall. Well, guess what? You go to the doctor and he doesn't have ADHD. He has a sleep disorder. And another issue that's often misdiagnosed is... often diagnosed with a sleep disorder, restless leg syndrome. And my brother often diagnoses restless leg syndrome, a myriad of sleep disorders. You know, you could have your average sleep disorder. You could have narcolepsy where you fall asleep on your desk at a moment's notice. You just conk out at your desk. That's narcolepsy. Or, you know, ADHD. He's often diagnosed ADHD when it was asleep. ADHD when people thought, other technicians thought that it was a sleep disorder or vice versa. So you can't leave any stone unturned. You have to go through all the emotional things that could be contributing to somebody's difficulty in learning. The student could have an anxiety disorder that's contributing to a learning difficulty. But you just have to go step by step and say, okay, is he sleeping? Yes. What nutrition plays a huge role. Are you nutritionally balanced? Food allergies contribute. If you have a food allergy, you may not feel well. You may not be able to work, and you don't know what's going on. That has to be looked at. What's going on at home? Is there a divorce, a death in the family, abuse of some kind? Everything has to be taken a look at. And at Creative Learning Concepts, we leave no stone unturned, and we're happy we do that because we always get the proper diagnosis. If we're unsure of something, we go to, let's say, my brother. If we think it could be a sleep disorder, I'll call my brother or another medical professional. And that way we'll know there won't be any mistakes made.
So when the students are coming in to you for the first time, they're coming in with the parents, you're not just looking at whatever diagnosis you're being handed. When they come in to you and they say, daughter or son has ADHD, or they're not fitting in school, or they have a behavior disorder, or they're challenged academically or whatever, you're actually doing your own analysis from the scratch. And, if you discover that you think there's something else out there, you're obviously consulting with a plethora of MDs and doctors and physicians around here. You've had Dr. Joel Kahn on the show before talking about sleep, meditation, sleep disorders, nutrition. So that's all to say that you do refer and bring in medical advice when needed.
Absolutely. I have no choice because I have to diagnose properly. Otherwise, the student's not going to get the appropriate treatment. And what I thought of, too, one of the diagnoses that is often overused is the diagnosis of ADHD. It is so overdiagnosed when, in fact, a parent could say to me, I know my son or my daughter has ADHD, and I'll ask them, you know, when are you available? Come on in and I'll take a look. It's not ADHD. They have a spirited kid and they don't know how to parent, and they jump at the first chance to medicate them because they're at a loss as far as how to handle the behavior. So you have to be really careful. You don't want to misdiagnose a student because it'll make the matter worse. It won't make anything better.
And I think that's become a problem that has come to the forefront, that within the schools, when they see a hyperactive kid or a kid that's maybe a little bit outside of the norm or over the top with their behavior, that the immediate waste paper basket diagnosis really is, well, they must have ADHD, therefore, why don't you go to your family practitioner? And nine times out of 10, maybe the family practitioner is just going to put them immediately on medication. And, you know, I'm sure that a lot of these kids probably don't need to be put on medication. And then there's the other issue of how long do they stay on medication? Because I'm sure you're seeing kids that are coming in that are, they've been on medication for years and nobody's doing anything to get them off the medication. And so how do you address that issue?
I often talk to parents and tell them that one thing is not going to help in its entirety. You have to get cognitive behavior therapy. There may not even be a reason to put them on medication. And they have to understand that one medication could be a godsend. And parents, listen to this, because what's good for one is not necessarily going to be good for another. And everybody's body chemistry is different. All these medications have side effects. Not for everybody, though. I have to say that. Not for everybody. You know, my own son was medicated at a young age because he was, if I knew then what I knew now, there is no way on God's green earth I would ever put him on medication because of all the side effects he had. And a lot of times, because of different body chemistries, you have to overlap doses because kids sometimes crash after the medication starts to wear off. And that's what happened to my son. And he had every possible side effect there was to have. He was making noises, licking his lips, crying. And I said, you know what? This is not a good thing. Let's see if we can do something about catching his positive behavior instead of his negative behavior. Because in my opinion, that's where you should go. Not be quick to put your child on medication.
Yeah, not be quick to medicate, and how long to keep the kid on medication, that's an open question. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin. I'm here tonight with Lisa Popper, founder of Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. One of the things I would like to talk to you about, Lisa, is what I call your home delivery. Now, we've all heard of house calls, but that really only happens on TV shows like Marcus Welby, MD, or maybe happened in the Frontier days, but certainly not happening much anymore. But you do cater to and believe that sometimes the child is more responsive and the environment is more comfortable for the student. So you'll actually go to the home and work within the home environment, as do the therapists who work for you. Moving away from the clinic atmosphere, there's also a private school in Bloomfield Hills for gifted children that teaches children in a home-like, comfortable atmosphere. They also are well known for specializing in teaching children with learning differences. Now, how do you feel that home-light, non-clinical atmosphere enhances achievement and learning? And how did you first get started doing house calls and creating that, what I call a non-clinical environment?
I've been doing house calls for a long, long time. And the first time I did that was when I was working with a preschool age autistic child, and I was doing the ABA program with him. And for those of you who do not know what ABA is, it's Applied Behavioral Analysis, and it's a program for a systematic program used for autistic kids. But this child in particular had apraxia of speech, which made communication a lot more difficult. So not only did I have to work on communication with him, but it was a 3-hour-a-day intensive therapeutic setting done primarily in the home. And in the home, it's a familiar place. That's where the comfort level comes in. It's a familiar place. It's not strange. You know, if you have to use the restroom, you can go there. If you need a snack break, you can have that. I've made household calls with older kids too, but the older kids tend to want to take too many breaks. But, you know, you have to have a more structured atmosphere in that case. And let's say after 20 minutes, you can take a 2-minute break, stretch, get a snack, whatever the case may be that's appropriate for that particular student. But you can really get down to the child's level in a home-like setting. I'll get down on the floor with them, do a puzzle, play a game, laugh. And laughter is the best medicine. Laughter will get the child to trust you almost immediately. And you can find out all sorts of information once you get them to smile and laugh. So I don't see that same type of atmosphere in a school. In a school, it's more clinical. You know, you're with a bunch of other kids your age, and you have your teacher, and whenever it's possible, an assistant teacher. But here in the home, you're in one-on-one. And yes, the parents are oftentimes there, but that's okay. They often lurk around the corner to see what their kids are doing. And oftentimes when we're laughing, the parents are wondering, are they really working? They're laughing their heads off. And they've asked me, you guys are having so much fun. Are you really working? And I said, of course. He's done so much work while we're laughing. So it's a different comfort level. It's as simple as that. It's a totally different comfort level. And I like to do the house calls, even when it's a situation of a child who has a gifted program with me. So whether it's gifted or a remediation program or an autistic student, home is oftentimes much more comfortable.
And it's also, I would imagine, got to be a lot easier if you have... if you're treating maybe more than one child in the family, and also for homes where both parents are working, maybe they're both professionals or they both have jobs, and it's very hard in this day and age to squire kids around to all of their school and after school activities. So I know that you've been doing house calls if and as needed, or for parents and families where it's a better environment for the kid, and also it's certainly more convenient for the parents. And you have, in building your business, you obviously realized when you were in private practice that you couldn't be all things to all people. And so you started the Popper Institute, which is basically a training ground for therapists and clinicians who want to work with students using your methods. And I know that your therapists also go out and make house calls, and they do treat people in the clinic, and they treat people at their home. So I understand that you took from your past experience and created a huge manual. And would you please tell us about how your training program, your therapists, what are their qualifications? How do they find you? And what do you do with them to train them to be like duplicates of you?
Well, first and foremost, there will never be a duplicate of me, but I do my best. I had to say that. Come on. This is too serious here. Right. The manual, I needed to start a manual because I wanted each potential therapist to know what I find the most crucial tools to have in their repertoire to reach and teach each child they are given. And the first thing I do is an exercise. I do this with the therapists. First, I forgot to tell you that when I hire therapists, they are, it's mandatory that they take my training program, which is a 2 weekend, both Saturday and Sunday, from 9 until 5. And their qualifications have to be master degreed and gone, and they have to be a certified teacher or going through the teacher's certification as they start my program. Also, they are given a two mammoth binders of information that I go through page by page. One is technique and the other is all about testing and personality surveys and everything you need to know to be an appropriate test giver.
Now, tell us a little bit about how do potential applicants who want to work within your clinic, how do they find you? How do these teachers and master's degree program therapists come to you? How do they find you? And what do you do with them?
Well, to find us, we do seek out universities for teachers who are going through the teacher certification process. And I go through their resumes. It's a resume process, and then I select the ones I think have the most potential. And I invite them to come to a seminar where I explain how the Popper Institute and Creative Learning Concepts got started and all the wonderful things we do and why we are different than anybody else. And if they would like to be part of the process, then I invite them to do so. And we set up a 2-weekend seminar with the qualified individuals.
So basically that answers the question of, you know, when you were an individual practitioner, you found that you were getting too busy, and how did you then expand the business? So you've actually got this training program, which is similar to probably like the Montessori training program, where they come in and they shadow you and follow you and learn from your from the manuals that are customized and prepared by you. So that essentially, if a parent calls looking for Lisa Popper to be the therapist, if they get one of your other therapists, they're essentially getting someone who is more or less a duplicate of you and a duplicate of what you do based on your manual and this training program for anyone who's interested in maybe joining the Popper Institute. Anyway, we're going to go to a quick break. In the meantime, you're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. You can reach Lisa by calling 844-4-POPPER or visit her online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that web address is creativelearningconceptsmi.com. You're listening to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to the Creative Learning Concepts radio show. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Cronin. I'm here with Lisa Popper, founder of the Creative Learning Concepts and director of the Popper Institute. We're talking this evening about assistance for students who face academic and social challenges. Lisa, in the last segment, we were talking about the therapists who work for you and your training program, that when you bring in new therapists to work here, as you're constantly doing, you're looking for teachers and people who have their master's degree in teaching or psychology. And you did talk about part of your program, which normally goes over 2 weekends. It's a very thorough training program that you put your therapists through so they can duplicate your efforts. You mentioned you wanted to come back to explaining about the manual that they have that you created, took a long time to create it. Did you want to, you know, elucidate a little bit more about the manual and what they are expected to do as therapists while they're here?
Yes, the first manual, like I said in our last segment, is about technique and how to bring your new student in, meaning how to get them to trust you. And there's nothing better than giving them a fun project to do that you can do with them. And, you know, what's in a name? It's their name. You have them do a project by writing out their name, and with each letter of their name, they say something positive about their personality, and the teacher does the same. So it's a group effort, so to speak. So that's the first project. And then it's basically about technique, how to think outside the box, how to be the best that you can be as a teacher, how to reach and teach each student in your caseload. And it's all about seeing each student as a unique individual and just teaching them from the inside out. You have to assess what kind of personality each student has, and you teach accordingly. And let's say you have a shy student. The best thing to do would be a game. Find out his likes and dislikes and what they like to do, what kinds of books they like to read. And you will have them in the palm of your hand, and you will get them to do anything. And the last manual is all about testing and how to properly administer a test and what you can and cannot do as far as scoring, administering, where to sit, how to tell how the testee presented himself when taking the test, because if the student is not relaxed when you administer the test, you're not going to reach optimum results.
Okay, and talking about books and Popcorn Publishing, so let's talk a little bit about Popcorn Publishing, such a cute name. I have these in front of me, and they are lovely, glossy, colorful picture books. I'd like to talk to you about how you got into Popcorn Publishing, how you created the books, who uses them, how you got started writing these books. And I have a few in front of me right now. Timmy the Turtle, Nifty Noodles, Katie the Kung Fu Kangaroo. That's a tongue twister. My Rad Dad. They're cute little books, and they're obviously for literacy programs. Tell us a little bit about the books.
The book started when I was still living in California. I had a student, a 4.5-year-old little girl who had a double cortex. It's a really involved, very rare disorder, and it affected her short-term memory, among other things. And I had to keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. And I thought to myself, gosh, this is so boring. I've got to think of a book, maybe. Yeah, a book. That's it. So I thought of a book that had all these cartoon characters or cartoonish characters, brightly colored. And I thought of rhythm and rhyme that could be repeated ad nauseum until the student remembered them. And the books were born, and she loved them. And the kids wiggle and jump and dance to them. And it's a great tool for literacy.
Yes, and they're certainly very colorful, and they're cute looking little books, and they're not really very hard to get through. Each one is a huge picture page with your little ditties down at the bottom to help them with pronunciation and reading. Anyway, how do people get your books?
They can go on my website at www.creativelearningconceptsmi.com and purchase them there. And we have CDs and DVDs that are coming out as well that accommodate the books.
Well, that's great. So hopefully people will find out more about your books by going online. Well, we're out of time tonight, and that does it again for another Creative Learning Concepts radio show on News Talk 760 WJR, sponsored by Creative Learning Concepts, LLC. I'm Anne-Marie Cronin, and again, I want to thank Lisa Popper, Director of Creative Learning Concepts and founder of the Popper Institute. You can contact Lisa Popper and the Popper Institute by calling 844-4-POPPER. That's 844-4-POPPER, or online at creativelearningconceptsmi.com. Again, that's creativelearningconceptsmi.com. We're closing tonight's show with the ABC Rap, conceived and written, co-written by Lisa Popper and performed by Detroit rapper, low-fat, and violinist Siobhan Cronin, who's currently not with us today. She's in Miami performing, so hope to see her again soon. Thank you so much, and enjoy the music.
Education. Yeah. Education.
Yeah.
Education.
Yeah.
Always stay in school, yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Just pull your weight or down, down you will go. Education is the key to the world, yo. Just find your way to good things, and you can see all the joy education brings. A, always stay in school, it's the coolest thing. B, be the best you can be if you just believe. C, concentration would always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. E, education will make a better you. F means you find your way if you stay in school. G is for good grade equals hard work. The guys who ain't in school is the real jerks. H, be a hero and do what you gotta do. How you gonna make it if you don't stay in school? I, independence will always shine through. J, just stay focused to make a better you. K, keep it pushing and never stop. L, mean a better listener will always learn a lot. M, stay motivated and never lazy. Even when life get hectic, it's all gravy. N, never say never, never lose hope. I don't care if your back is up against the ropes. O, overcome life diversities. P is for the people who believe. If you believe it in your heart, then you should achieve. Q means ask questions, don't be ashamed. Your voice counts too, now let them know your name. R is for keep it real at all times. We all know education build a strong mind. S is for success, now let's get it. T is for the truth, for the young youth. U is for all race to unite. V is for the victory, it is in sight. W is where there's a will, that's a way. X mark the spot why you can't zest through the day.
Yeah,
through the day.
Yeah,
through the day.
Yeah,
always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through. D is for doing all the things that you need to do. Always stay in school. Yeah, that's the coolest thing. Be the best, life is like a boomerang. Concentration will always get you through.